Then I have the tongue to speak, and you the ears to hear. Only that which glorifies is one that's made. Sisters and brothers in Christ, our readings today, both in Exodus and in Romans, are about securing and sustaining community. The law, the rules of conduct, for that first Passover, there they are laid out before us. The lamb must be without blemish, the blood must be on the lintel, the lamb well cooked and sandals on your feet, and so it goes on. Detailed and prescriptive. It's about survival. And then in Romans, Paul writes, after the first coming of Christ, and it's about love, all embracing, freely given. Love in its fullest sense. The love that is in Greek called agape, unselfish, undemanding, always giving. The fulfillment of an ongoing, unceasing obligation. And so there we have it. Exodus and Romans, before and after Christ. Moses, the law, fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Because it's Jesus who tells us, does it not? I have come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. I've come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Now, in preparing for today's sermon, what I was going to share with you, I came across a story. It's a story of a minister, a preacher, who comes new to a congregation. It's his first sermon. And the sermon is on love. And he gives the sermon. It is really appreciated. You know, they love it. Well done. Just what we wanted to hear. And the preacher, the pastor, the minister smiles. Says, thank you, thank you, thank you very much. I'm really glad to be with you all. And then the second sermon. And he gives exactly the same sermon, word for word, exactly the same sermon. And they're a little taken aback, but they say, oh, well, it's a great sermon. You know, why not emphasize it? Good, great. And they go away. Then the third Sunday, and the preacher gives exactly the same sermon, word for word. This time, after it, there's a deathly hush, there's complete silence, and they go away. The fourth Sunday, they come back, and the preacher, the pastor, gives exactly the same sermon again.
they're going to admit, you know, they don't like it. And they go to the circuit stewards, they are like, you know, we'll talk to them. And they come up to him and they say, well, you know, we understand you thought it was a good sermon. We thought it was a good sermon. You know, great. Thank you very much. But haven't you got anything else to give us? And he says, yes, yes, I have. When you've learned the first. Yes, I have. When you've learned the first. And that's all. That's all. Time and time again in his letters, he comes back to love. That's the message he pushes. That is what it's all about. That's what it boils down to. Paul is about the business of sustenance, of sustaining those early groupings of people who make up the early church, those early followers of Christ in Rome, in Corinth, in Thessalonica, in Galatia, wherever. He's about securing and sustaining them in faith in the most hostile environments where they are threatened daily, in mind, in body, and in spirit. And St. Paul's answer is always love. And love not just one another, not just within the community, but love extended to strangers. Not just to Jews, but to Gentiles. Not just to friends, but to enemies. This is difficult stuff. It's hard work. It warrants repeating. Because the giving of love fulfills three purposes. It blesses the person who receives it. And don't we all need that love? Secondly, when we show love to our neighbor, we become powerful witnesses for Christ. And thirdly, as we are told in the scripture we have heard today, he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And we hear the detail of that law in Exodus. But Jesus, when he comes, because Moses is the law, Jesus fulfills it. Jesus, when he comes, wraps it up in but two. Two commandments, loving God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. And Paul, who's focused on securing and sustaining communities, specifies those four commandments in verse 9. Adultery, murder, stealing, covetousness. Those four commandments, he alights on those because those are the ones which he sees as most threatening to the relationships that build and create successful communities. And he picks them up. Those are the greatest threats to loving relationships within those communities. And he sums them up. He said, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling the law. Paul is writing to these congregations, speaking to them in the context of an existential threat. So when he talks about knowing the time, awakening out of sleep, and the coming of salvation, he and they are experiencing a particular sense of urgency. Greek has, of course, two words for time, chronos and kairos. Chronos, chronological time. Chronological time.
Chronos. The time I set out by this morning in order to get here by 11.
And I'm coming from the country. My wife and I are spending some time with
one of our children and her husband with their children. So I came in from the country. I picked in our own Chronos time. I called the train at 8:56 to make sure I was here. But Kairos is a special moment, a significant moment when decisions are made which have a profound and significant consequence for the shape and nature of things to come. A profound and significant consequence for the shape and nature of things. Sisters and brothers, I would suggest we are at such a moment now. Not least, of course, because today we didn't all set out to get here for 11. You all here in this particular physical space did set out by a certain time in order to get here for 11. But we are here, all here, some in person in this physical space, and some by Zoom, and yet on YouTube. But yet, we are all here. This is a special time, the time in which we live, the circumstances which cause us to be in this place virtually and physically is a special moment in time. Now, we owe the team who made this possible, who responded to our sense of urgency that we all felt as a congregation. All of us have felt this sense of urgency, this longing for which we must have fulfilled today, a desire for a relationship with one another, and a relationship that does not exclude physical connection to this building, to Heimskirk. And we owe Giles and Dan in particular a great debt of gratitude, not just for the past few weeks and months, but for actually making it happen here today for all of us. Together at this Kairos moment, share this particular moment. And this is just one example of a profound shift in the way that we relate to one another and order our world as a consequence of the pandemic, as a consequence of. And the challenge of COVID is how we are to respond to it in a way that fulfills the commandment to love one another. I was struck last Sunday at just how much for me personally, my experience of my relationships within this church community has deepened over the past few months. How it has been deepened by some of the innovations that we have all experienced and had to be a part of. I must confess, I was more than a little uncertain. I don't know about you all, but I was more than a little uncertain about the breakout rooms. Yeah. I must confess that Giles, Dan, you certainly gave me some pause for thought and concern with that particular innovation. And yet, when I was thrust into one, as we all were, thrust into one with people not of my own choosing, and for a time not under my control, But this is the very antithesis of what we're used to, isn't it? We seek people out. We determine how much time, long or short, we want to be. That's the nature. That's how we've done church community in the past. No longer. In the breakout rooms, we were just suddenly were together. And then we weren't with people we didn't choose to be with, and then suddenly we weren't anymore, and suddenly 10 minutes later. We were out of there, just like that. It caused me to have a confrontation, a personal confrontation, with the reality of other experiences of church, community, and life, which I would not otherwise have had cause to relate to. The sharing I had with those three other people made me so much more aware of that which hitherto I had not been aware of. Even though I certainly to one of them I thought I knew quite well, actually, I thought I knew the biggest person quite well. But actually, it turned out that I was getting insights into moments of happiness, yes, but also hurt and pain and vulnerability, which came out from the conversation we had in that breakout room, that I would never otherwise have known. And that, for me, was like the Spirit. That for me was the moment when the Holy Spirit came into this dire, difficult, and challenging situation in which we all found ourselves. And we should be able to bring always all things to the foot of the cross and be open to one another as we do so, and to the possibilities of transformation of ourselves, our church, our community, and wider society. That knowing the time, knowing the time, as St. Paul calls us to do, and embracing the lessons of love, as St. Paul calls us to do, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's that we are exposed at this moment. That possibility of a real and enduring transformation of ourselves and our relationships, one with the other, within church and within the wider society. John Wesley wrote of the love of God and the love of one's neighbor as oneself in this way. Not as a call to what he described as sinless perfection, but rather as something that we should seek as the primary motivating force in a Christian life. Giving ourselves to God in holy, active, patient, and patient love. He taught the early members that God's grace was sufficient to perfect the Christian in love, and that this love in turn empowered and impelled us as believers, as followers of Christ, to do good. That's the call to us at this time. That's the call to us at this kairos moment. We need to breathe that passion. Love not as a soft sentiment, but as a practical transforming strategy. We need to breathe that passion for love in that form. into our responses to the challenges of this time. As we rethink the nature, not just of nature and manner, not just of our worship as we have done, as we are doing this moment in time today, but into our work. As we seek to fashion a new global dispensation in our relationship with the environment, with the natural world, and with each other. For us as Methodists, there is no split between personal salvation and social engagement. So in all the decisions we make at this time, big and small, in our personal and in our working lives, in our private and in our personal and public acts, let's seize the moment as we engage with each other, as we engage with the powers and the principalities. Let's seize the moment. Let's become alive to the truth of Christ's sacrifice for us, the good news of the gospel, the obligations of love. Owe no man anything but to love one another. Then truly we can say, even in the midst these troubled and troubling times, the night is far gone. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. The day is at hand. Love divine, all loves excellent. Joy of heaven. We can believe that loving spirit into every troubled person. Take away from the love of sin. How far can you believe? Come, Almighty, to deliver. Let us all thy life receive. Finish end thy new creation. Pure and spotless, let it be. Change glory into glory. Till in heaven we take our place.